It's Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039. And get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning. Welcome back to the second half of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We thank you so much for joining us today. We are talking about, do you want to get well? The question on the table right now for the listening audience is, what is it that your spouse can do, can change about him or herself to make the marriage better? We're also fielding your questions via email. You can always send us an email and we'll do our best to read and answer those questions each week. In fact, we have a few right now. Marcos, could you remind everybody what the email address is in case someone is too shy or unwilling or unable to call us on the telephone?
Well, you know, the good thing about this day and age of communication is that there's so many ways to contact us. I mean, obviously, you can call in like so many of you have done and continue to do. And then there's also email. And we have an email address, beyondvows@gmail.com. You could also, you know, frequent and visit our websites, which you can get a ton of information and news. And then you can find us there. You can find Marriage Beyond the Vows. Look for Marcos and click on it on the icon there. And you can send an email that would be forwarded to my address as well. And those email addresses, depending on where you are, is praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com. And then last but not least, there's Facebook, which is an amazing networking site that you can be able to post. And I encourage you, if you friend us on Facebook, you can post some questions or concerns or about marriage or anything you want to put there. And we'll look through that. And we actually frequent that Facebook page as well. And you want to encourage your friends so that they can also get connected with Marriage Beyond the Vows. You know, there's an email that was sent to us last week or during the week. And it says, here, hi, I listen to your program every Saturday. We're grateful for that, right? Mm-hmm. It says, I thank God for you and your program. It has helped me get through some of the problems in my marriage. I've been married for 17 years, and 5 years ago, my husband confessed to adultery because of some force from me. Since then, I've been trying to rebuild. The problem is that he will not call or communicate with me and when needed to rebuild that trust. I constantly stress the importance to him, but to no avail. He started sleeping on the couch. When he got mad at me for whatever reason. When I would ask, he would just say he fell asleep and it wasn't done intentionally. I never believed it. And he told me, if you cheat again, and I told him, if you cheat again, the marriage is over. Right now, I am currently still in the marriage, but I don't trust anything that he says or does without confirmation. As of late, I've discovered he's addicted to pornography because I found it on our computer on more than two occasions, along with many email addresses of which I do not have access. We also have school-aged children, which I fear would see it, so I removed the computer from our home. I also believe he's been cheating again because his pay stub states that he took hours off from work when he cannot confirm. I told him if he doesn't agree to counseling and get help, then it's over. He never answered, so that meant no. I packed and proceeded to move out. After a few weeks, he agreed to counseling. He went to the first visit but did not discuss his current sins of adultery, the pornography, and the cheating. He just rehashed our old problems from the past. I've also been emotionally abused by him, especially when he's mad at me. My problem is, how can I rebuild if he won't confess the truth? Am I wrong to believe that he needs to confess the truth to me before I take one further step? How can I rebuild if he won't confess the truth to even the counselor? I can't have a relationship or a marriage without trust. Should I put him out immediately or just seek a lawyer for divorce? How can I ever trust him again? I have an appointment with the counselor this week. If he doesn't confess the truth, I will not go to counseling. It's a waste of time without the truth. Please advise. Thank you, Mrs. Anonymous.
Wow.
You know, first of all, we want to say we feel for you. And we know that this is not just one person. I mean, this is one person writing, but so many people find themselves with that lack of trust. You know, once that infidelity is committed, that adultery is committed, it breaks the trust. I mean, it just does. And what's really sad is afterwards, the couples that decide to rebuild, that they want to move forward, You know, there's always that spouse, the one that actually did the cheating, who gets to a point where they try to prove themselves, and then they get upset when their spouse doesn't trust them. Like, why you call me all the time? Why you always want to know where I am? Because you broke the trust. And yet, it's easy for people to get defensive and say, well, no, you should trust me. And one encouraging thing that I want to say to anyone in that situation, if you were the one that committed adultery, you've ruined your marriage, you broke the trust in your marriage, then be humble. And you know what? Realize that it's going to take time, that even though your spouse forgave you, and they're trying to work it out, don't get defensive. Don't get to the point where you say, you know what? You got to trust me. Why? Why did they have to trust you when you have to build that trust? And so the encouragement I want to give to this particular person or to anybody else in that situation is that 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 says that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Even though it doesn't look like there's a way out, there is. And in that counseling, I would encourage you to bring it up, because you're spending your time, your money, everything. You're sitting there. Give him an opportunity to get open. But if he doesn't, say, you know what, honey, if you don't get open, I'm going to get open, mm-hmm. because we got to get that help. And so when you're sitting there and he's just talking about things of the past, say, you know what? What about the adultery? What about the pornography? What, you know, bring it up. It's okay. You're in there. You walk in together. It's expected. Because if not, it's not going to get exposed if he doesn't bring it up. So you have to bring it up, okay? So hopefully that helps. You know, Tiffany, it breaks our hearts, you know, when we see that and we hear that.
Yeah.
But we do want, you know, to encourage all our listeners. You know, sometimes you can't get through the air, or sometimes you're a little shy. Mm-hmm. You know, send us an email. You know, send us a Facebook message. You know, Marriage Beyond the Vows. Just look us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or praisephilly.com or praisecharlotte.com. Connect with us so that we can address these on the air. You know, sometimes we're not able to address them off the air because there's, you know, it'll be a lot to write back. But right. we want to not just make sure we help you, but so many others who might be in your same exact situation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we do appreciate your phone calls, emails, and messages again on Facebook. You can call us now with the comment to our question of the hour, which is, what is it that your spouse can change about him or herself to make the marriage better? 215-263-1039. That's 215-263-1039. Or you can reach out to us at 1-877-995-7644. Let's go right back to the phones. We have Cassie online from Sicklerville, New Jersey. Cassie, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And yourself?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Good. My problem, I love my husband very much, and I know he loves me. We'll be married 29 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Actually, almost 32, because we lived together 7 years prior before that. But
okay.
Our biggest problem and his biggest problem, my problem is communication. His problem is finances. He does not hold on to his money very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not communicate. You know, I try, but then we argue about it, and I just, you know, shut down. He wants to get different things, and financially, you know, we can't really do it because you're not being truthful with me,
mm-hmm.
as far as what you are spending out there, how much are you making, because he deposits money. He gives me money from his check as far as, you know, what needs to be paid, and that's that.
Mm, okay, so he is struggling with what I call spenditis. You got to spend it. You know, you got it, you got to spend it.
Exactly.
Mm. So have you, I'm sure, during this time, what has happened when you've brought this up and you're like, look, honey, this is hurting us, it's hurting our marriage. You know, you can't spend the way that you want to. I mean, what happens?
Well, I guess it's the way it's how you say it. I guess with me, my communication, when I know things have to be paid and things are building up, and then when he asks for something, I just blow up.
Mm.
Because I keep a lot of things. You know, he's sickly, and I don't like to bother him with a lot of bills. But, and I know that's wrong because I'm keeping this to myself and he's not knowing,
mm-hmm.
exactly, you know, what needs to be done in order for us to go move forward. And if you need something, that's fine. But I need to take control as far as how much money you're actually bringing in, and that way we can work, you know, somehow, you know, get on the right key.
I'll share something with you, Casey. You know, growing up, my parents actually had that very same situation you're talking about. My father had spenditis. You know, he had to spend money all the time. Mm-hmm. He grew up really poor. So once he started, you know, being able to accumulate a lot of money, you know, he started spending it. The more he had, the more he spent, mm-hmm. and the more he made. And he, you know, made quite a bit of money growing up. There were specific times, but he would always spend more than he had. And my mother, on the other hand, she was really tight-fisted. Like, everything, every single thing bothered her. And she actually had the same issue that you had, where she wouldn't say anything until it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so that lack of communication actually, you know, was one of those things that contributed to the fall of their marriage and after, you know, 20-something years. But part of it was because she wouldn't communicate, and they would not just sit down and say, you know what, we got to meet somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not saying not to spend, because her reaction would be the total opposite. It's like, okay, let's not spend anything. And then for him, he would feel really trapped, and he enjoyed spending money. He's very generous. He would give to people, and it would bother her to the point where even one Valentine's Day, I never forget this. I was a small kid. My dad bought like the biggest heart that you can find, a chocolate heart with about like 100 different hearts. You know, he's walking through the neighborhood, you know, everyone's looking. I mean, the women are just envious. Like, look at how much this man loves his wife. He brings it to my mother, and guess what? She's like, why you spent that money?
Mm-hmm.
That costs so much. You know, I don't even like chocolate. And, you know, those type of things just took away and destroyed the marriage in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not too late, as a matter of fact. You know, they're having years later now, they're reconciling something. So I'm really excited and praying about that.
Oh,
but one of the encouraging things, though, is because they weren't Christians. They didn't understand. But see, you are calling, you're listening to the show. It sounds like you have your faith in God and in the Bible.
Yeah.
I want to encourage you to be the wife that loves your husband enough to communicate it before it becomes a big, you know, a big blow up. You know, just communicate. Say, honey, this is because if he loves God, he loves you, he's going to be able to listen. But what I said earlier, change your approach. If arguing is not fixing it, which obviously is not, then change the approach. Sit down and say, you know what, honey, we really got to talk. This means a lot to me. I have something huge to tell you. And talk it out. You know, pray together about it. You know, and you'll start seeing that perhaps it's just he doesn't know. Mm. He doesn't realize the situation you guys are in.
Right. Okay.
Casey, thank you so much for sharing that.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Have an awesome day.
Thank you. God bless you both.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's move over to Wilmington, Delaware, where William is waiting to be heard. Good morning, William. You're live on the air.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
The one thing I want to be able to change in myself first is, let me just say that I was married, and my wife committed adultery 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very tremendous. It hurt a lot. It really did. It hurt a whole lot. But God had a revelation, and God said to me, "What was it that you were lacking?"
Mm-hmm.
Because she went and cheated. Don't get it wrong. She was wrong.
Absolutely, we know.
But you need to find out what it is that you weren't bringing that made her go outside, if there was anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to her and asked her. You know, this at the time, and at the time we weren't saved. She wasn't saved. She's still not saved. But I did get saved. And at the time, I went to her and I said, you know what? I forgive you. I forgive you for what you've done. What was it that I wasn't giving you that made you go outside of this marriage so that I know when I do, when God blesses me with a wife, I know what not to do or what to bring. So I guess what I'm saying is I want to be able to love with God's love. Can you just imagine to be able to love somebody the way God, Jesus loves you, the way God loves you, the way he gave up his son for you.
Absolutely. William, I want to commend you. I mean, that is very bold, courageous, honest. And the question I have for you, though, is what was it?
She said that there wasn't nothing specifically. She said that there was a lack in communication,
mm-hmm.
and that out too much on out and on the road. I played minor league baseball at the time, so I was out on the road a lot.
You weren't there, yeah. And you know what? Like you said, in no way, shape, or form is anyone saying that she wasn't wrong. She was wrong. But it's really good. This is a great place for you to be. And for all our listeners, you got to understand that you're 100% responsible for what happens in your marriage.
That's right.
A lot of times people try to say, oh, no, you're just 50%. No, you're 100% responsible. Why?
That's
because
right.
You can control what you do 100%. So the fact that you had other things that communicated to your wife that they were priorities instead of her, and she wasn't strong enough, you know, Satan was able to use that as leverage, and it happened more than once. He said it happened 3 times. And, you know, but William, I think you've become a better man because of it, and you're going to be able to be a great husband in the future because, you know, don't get me wrong, though, those temptations will be there, and you will not be the best communicator at times because that's going to be something that you are working on. But keep it on the forefront of your mind. Keep it on your heart. Keep it on your prayer so that you would be different, and the next marriage that God blesses you with, you would be different. You will be a husband that helps meet your wife's needs.
Thank you. That's right.
Thank you so much,
awesome.
William. Appreciate that. That was great stuff you shared.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Let's go to Lansdale, PA, where Honey is on the line. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing
good.
Well.
You all are such a blessing to me. I set my alarm just to listen to the show.
Well, thank you.
Oh, yay.
I'm so thankful for you all. Well, I've been married for 23 years, and I walked away from my marriage 5 months ago.
Mm.
And this is the perfect question for me because I need to know what I needed to change. And I would say more sex and less stress. That was one thing. The other thing was we had a business, and I was not into the business. I wasn't excited about it. And I started to support my husband with the business, but then he would come home because he would work outside of the house and I would work inside of the house
mm-hmm.
with the administration part. But he would come home and he would browbeat me about the things I did wrong. Mm. And it made me step back from the business so he had other people run it, and that caused an affair within a marriage on his end.
Mm.
So I have not gone back. I have not talked with him. Because I'm kind of confused about what I should do. And we are Christians. We were he was a minister in the church for 15 years. Excuse me. And then we joined another church, so we got out of that. And I think that's where the breakup really started, when we decided to leave our church that we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone else, another voice, came into the marriage. About 7 years, I found out about her about 4 years ago. And he kept telling me that he let her go. He's not with her anymore. So, and he always said that I didn't support him. And I gave him the chance to support, you know, give him the support that he needed.
Okay.
So we're not divorced yet. I do want to file for a divorce, but a part of me is saying, no, I shouldn't. So I'm alone right now. I'm praying and I'm fasting about the decision that I want to make. Because it was also a control issue with the marriage. There's so many things that was going on. But to change myself, I would say that try to support him more in what he's doing, even though I don't like what he's doing. And on his end, I think he had a lot of selfishness with him. Because of terms of finances, he would spend his money on other things, and our house went into foreclosure. We had so many other things going on with that. So it was like a mixed match in terms of the business, the house, and the marriage.
Okay. Well, this is what I would encourage you, honey.
Mm-hmm.
I would say to, you're saying you're not speaking to each other right now?
No, I'm not ready to talk with him right now.
Okay. And I think that's where it needs to start. You need to get to a place where you're at peace
mm-hmm.
and you're trusting God with whatever happens moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
But that you can get resolved so you can have that conversation.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, you know, because you're still hurt and you're still, I mean, it's even if you try to have a conversation right now, it likeliness of it going well, it's slim. Because
yes.
you're so hurt and you'll be bitter and, you know, and so what you want to do is really get to a place where you're liberated, where you're free. You know, God has exposed these things.
Right.
You guys have moved on, but also you're saying you're putting your trust in him, in God, I mean.
Yes.
And so you want to make sure you get yourself to a place where you can talk.
Right.
Because, you know, once you're at that place, then you know what, you're resolved, you're putting your trust in him. But right now, it's dangerous. So my encouragement to you is make sure whatever you need to do, counseling, yes, prayers, writing a journal, whatever mm-hmm. you have to do to get to a place where you're resolved, and then you can talk and then make a decision. But right. don't make a decision still feeling this hurt so much and right. you can't even function. So that would be my biggest encouragement to you. Mm-hmm. Get to a place where you can make a you know, rational and spiritual decision on right. what will happen in the future.
Right.
All right. We thank you so much for
calling
in.
Thank you, too. And you all have a blessed day, and may the Lord continue to bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
So before we go to any more calls, Marcos, I wanted to ask you, how would you answer that question for your wife, Amaryllis?
Oh, actually, I asked her. I asked her. Well, two things. The first thing I asked her was what, and she doesn't have a problem communicating and mm-hmm. telling me what I need to change. But I asked her, like, what it is for her. Like, what could she change? And she says that it's consistency for her. Mm-hmm. What she has done is we'll talk. We'll have, real prayer times and, some serious talks about what needs to change. And then she starts changing it. But then once she's getting better at it or she starts working on it, she's not as consistent with it. And so... And with her, it's affection. It's just mm-hmm. a expression, being expressive. And so that's something she's working on. And I'll be honest with you, she's gotten so much better at just being consistent. I used to feel like I had to remind her, which didn't always go well. Yeah. Because if I'm hurt and then I'm trying to remind her, probably not the best time and person to be able to remind her. But that's what she said. Now, you're saying if my wife can answer the question, what would she change about me?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. I mean, she won't change, she won't change anything. She said, honey, you're perfect. Just no, there's a bunch and it changes. And actually, I'm grateful that it changes because that means I am changing.
Okay.
And you understand that, if it's the same thing that it was 12 years ago, we got a problem.
Mm.
And we counsel a lot of couples and we actually do this marital workshop that it's a very interactive, intensive 8-week course. It's dynamic marriage, if that's what it's called. And what we do through the dynamic marriage course is we go through it with people as they're doing it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for years now, we've done it at least, 5 years in a row. And every time we look at where we were and where we are now.
Right.
And so, it would start where she felt like the way that I communicated to her made her, belittled her. And then the next year is like, wow, that's not that much of an issue. I've changed that. But then it would be something else and something else. The very last time we actually went and helped in the Bahamas to do a training this a few months ago this year. And we sat there. We kind of laughed. It's the first time that we were able to do this and just laugh. But what she said is that she wants to feel no matter what happens, that she's not in the doghouse.
Okay.
That I love her the same, that I'm the same. I was not even doing this intentionally, but I think there are times where, I treat my wife differently when I'm hurt, and that's not right. Because imagine if God treated us right. differently every time we messed up.
Absolutely.
And so I really got to change that and get my emotions in check. And I don't know, I would have to ask her how I'm doing with that lately. But that's what it is for me. She wants me to change that, to treat her right, no matter what's happening with us.
Fantastic. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. If you are on the line, we're going to get right to you. We do invite you to call us and tell us if your spouse could change one thing about themselves to make the marriage better. What do you think that would be? 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. We'll be right back with the final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows after this.
Praise.
And welcome back to our final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows for this Memorial Day Saturday. I know you're probably getting ready to go out and get the barbecue or at least relax and have a good time with family mm-hmm. and friends. So it's going to be a great weekend. Weather in Philadelphia, we're expecting some clouds today, a little bit of rain possibly later on today. So just be aware of that. But for your Memorial Day Monday, should be in the 80 degree range with the sun showing brightly. So
nice.
Just keep that in mind. We're going to finish with our conversation about do you want to get well? And the question on the table for you now is, what is it that your spouse can change about him or herself to make the marriage better? 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Joanne is on the line calling in from Philadelphia. Joanne, good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you much. What's your comment?
No, my comment is, right now, I am not married. I was married for 13 years. And I know you're trying to ask, what can you do to change the person?
Mm-hmm. No, really, I'm sorry. It's not what you could change, but if there was one thing you could change, what would that be?
Just trust. For a person to trust you, no matter what the situation was when you got in the marriage or whatever it is when you came out, is the trust.
Okay.
In my marriage, I it was drugs. That's the reason why we're not married today. It's been 5 years since the marriage.
Okay.
And the drugs devastated our marriage. It went to the point where he sold everything out the house. I stayed, and every time he got sick, even in the drug thing, I still stayed with him. He went in and out of rehab about 8 times. One time he got so bad with the drugs that he lost his he couldn't walk.
Wow.
He went in a hospital. I was getting ready to leave him right then, but when he went in the hospital, me and my sympathetic self went, stayed, did everything a wife was to do, and I brought him home. In the midst of that, I started conversating with someone in the church, a male figure, and, just trying to get advice and talking. And it led to something else. So when he found out, I still brought him home, and at the time I was telling him I wasn't going to do anything with that person. I just needed to talk to someone.
Mm-hmm.
That person was single, and he came home. I worked it out. I did my best. We did everything that I tried. But after he got better, he got this money came in.
Okay.
He took the money and left.
Okay.
I got devastated.
Oh, absolutely. I could imagine. But I have a question, Joanne.
Yes.
At the moment, sometimes we do things, obviously, that we regret later. But
oh, yeah.
When I hear you telling us the story, I can't help but ask myself, or wanting to ask you, why did you go to a single man to get advice during this time?
I mean, we worked together, and he was the only person at work that I used to see that read the Bible. And it's not because he was single. I don't know. I just thought he was a legit person that could have helped me.
Okay.
And my husband, his father, he's a minister. He was my pastor.
Okay. So you couldn't go to him.
and see, that was family. And most of the ones in the church, they were family.
Mm.
And I couldn't really talk.
Yeah.
And because they think it was me being one-sided, and I didn't want to be one-sided.
No, you're right.
I needed help. I mean, that really, I needed help at that time.
Oh, absolutely. And we're sorry to hear that things, took such a sour turn. But there are lessons to learn from this, and so thank you so much. We thank you so much for sharing that. For sharing that story with us, and we hope and pray that those listening in similar situations can kind of take warning from that and say, I still need to be in my right mind and go to someone that can really help me and not put myself in a potential, really compromising situation.
That's what I want women out there now that's going through bad marriages.
Absolutely.
Well, turn to the right person. I've lost so much from turning to that person.
You sure did.
Mm-mm-mm.
I lost the husband. And the person we got in a relationship, then when I got in a relationship with him, then I found out he was a rapist back in the day. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
You can write a book about this.
We just need to
keep going here. But we thank you, really, from the bottom of our hearts. We're so grateful for everything you share with us. And, you know, amen.
All right. Have an awesome remainder of your weekend. And we thank you for calling. All right. Let's go to Nisi calling in from Virginia. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you.
All right. What's your comment?
My comment is, and this is kind of like twofold, what could I do to change myself? Because I'm still married. My mouth. I run my mouth. I'm very opinionated, and sometimes things come out before I even think about it. So that would be something for me. From my spouse, my husband moves so slow. He's very slow-falling, and that kind of drives me crazy. And, you know, I try to do little things to kind of speed it up a little, but it, you know. And, you know, I was listening, I heard you said pick your battles, and I try to, like, God, is it really that serious? But on Sunday morning when we're trying to get ready for church, you know, and I'm up and I'm rearing to go, and I've done all the precautionary measures to get us going, and he yet moves slow.
I'm sorry. Nisa, was he always like that? I mean, you started in, you got married.
Both of us have been in the military, okay?
Okay.
So, I asked him one day, I said, why do you move so slow? And his response was, look, I do what I have to do 5 days a week, and on the weekend I'm just going to, you know, lay back and be relaxed and take it easy. Wherein, as I said earlier, we both were in the military, wherein for me, I have a schedule of doing things. Okay, bop, 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 bop.
Oh, wow.
What?
I just even hearing, I mean, I can... I tell you this much, from hearing you, I could just imagine, you know, he probably gets slower just to get back at you. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm just like, could you move any faster?
So what's going to happen when you guys get old together?
Oh, God, help me.
Going back in time. That would be good. Time traveling backwards. I don't know. But so you know what? There are things that we wish we could change. To be honest with you, I don't know if this is something. Obviously, he can change, but it's in his character. There's something
right
there.
And right.
But now the good news is you can change your tongue. You can
right
change what you say.
Right. And right,
so,
exactly.
So I don't know what we can do for you. I mean, we'll pray for you. You could pray God, give him a spirit of quickness or something. But, you know, the reality is you could also, I'll give you, you could bribe him a little. Say, honey, if you can't do this a little faster, I'll take care of you later or something. I don't know.
But,
you know, the Bible does say, I want to share this scripture on a serious note here. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that scripture there really just says, you know what, make sure that you change what you can. And encourage it, maybe with a little bit of encouragement. You know, I'm kind of joking, but at the same time, you know, maybe there could be some, you know, honey, let's talk so that we'll have enough time for later, so we can spend that time together.
Right,
maybe just having that conversation, but not saying it in such a way that makes them feel, you know, stupid or something. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you walking so
slow? Right, don't chop him up. Don't tear down his character.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Because, you know, he is, and I'm sure with all his flaws, there's a reason you married him, so he's your man.
Right, but you don't find out the good stuff until afterwards.
Well, you find the good and the bad until afterwards.
It's all right.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You guys have a blessed day. Thank you. You really encouraged me, and thank you again.
All right. Thanks a bunch.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's move over to Philadelphia, where Lamont is waiting patiently. Good morning. You're live on the air.
Yes.
Hi, can you please turn your radio down in the background?
Yes.
Because we can hear it.
Right, I can hear that, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, please, you can just turn it off.
Yeah, in fact,
yeah. Turn it off. She took it out of the room, my wife.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, Lamont, what's your comment?
I like to just say that I think the problem with most people is that they don't go to the Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, see, I used to see my potential wife walking down the street, And I was with a friend. I said, if I ever get that girl, I'll marry her. And 3 years later, to make a long story short, I started talking with her. I went up to her house, and I told her mother I really care about her. And I did one thing. I took her to the movies, and we looked at the movie Chainsaw Massacre. And she still married me after that. We got married on a...
Man, how romantic.
Yeah, Chainsaw Massacre, the movie. And she still married me, and we got married on Friday the 13th.
Oh, you gotta be kidding!
Yeah, and then you know, early on, I went through some changes, and she still stuck with me. My whole point is this: you got to get down and humble yourself, and you got to ask for your wife. I don't care how good looking you think you are, how many girls you can get. You got to humble yourself to God and trust in God to give you your wife or your husband. And here we are, married 36 years later, 8 children, they're all grown, and now we're on our honeymoon.
And no one's been cut, right?
No one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You know, going to the Lord is definitely the key.
Yeah, that's the key. That's the key. You gotta keep it. Even if you get in a little argument, a little a confrontation, you always humble yourself. The Lord is the key to the marriage. That's
absolutely
the whole thing.
Absolutely.
That's the glue right there.
You're right. You're right. Well, thank you so much, Lamont. We appreciate that, and we wish you many, many more years together. And hope you enjoy those movies together as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Thank you so much. God bless.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina, where Tashika is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right.
We're doing great.
We're doing well.
Okay. I was wanting to call in because I've been dealing with this, what can I change about myself? Mm-hmm. And my husband and I have been going through some things. We've been married for 6 years. We've been together for 9, and he was cheating on me. And it was kind of a situation where I knew that it was going on in my spirit. And when the cheating first started, I wasn't saved. And because of everything that went on, it actually led me to, because of the things that were going on in my mind and the things that I was deciding that I was going to do because of what I knew was going on deep down without any proof or without any, I don't want to call it proof, but without any confirmation of the affair that I just felt was going on, mm-hmm. my mind started going into a very bad place. And mm-hmm. so it got to a point where it scared me. And so I turned my life back over to God because I was like, okay, all the friends that I'm asking for advice for, they're not giving me what I need. My mind is going down, down, down. And so I gave my life back to God. And a few months later, it was confirmed that the relationship was going on, and it had been going on for a while. I'm not even sure how long it was going on. But as far as me, the thing that I would change about me is to just be able to let go, because we're still married. We're still in the same house. We have 4 children, 4 mm-hmm. small children. And it hurts. It hurts a lot. And anytime I would try to talk to him about it, he would get very angry. And tell me to just let it go. This kind of thing happens all the time. Even great men have cheated on their wives and they weren't, you know, told that they were nothing. And I don't tell him that he's nothing, but I kind of felt like I needed to know why and know what exactly went on and how long. And there were a lot of questions that I had, and the questions seemed to anger him, and he doesn't want to talk about it. And I guess I was kind of like, well, if I could just let it go, if I could just let it go and it not hurt anymore, then maybe I could just move on without needing to ask questions. But there's still, you know, there's times where I can't even function because of the pain, and so I'm dealing with that. And I know that if I could just let go. But as far as he goes, if he could just be completely honest, it's like he doesn't even want to talk about it. I feel like he doesn't want to be completely honest about the situation. He just wants it to be over and gone. And he does do everything he can to, you know, make me know that he wants to be with me and, you know, that he loves me and that he wants our marriage to work as far as everyday things. But as far as talking, he doesn't want to go there. He doesn't want to talk about it. It's over. Get over it. It's kind of what I'm getting from him. So I know, I mean, I wanted to go to counseling. He's not really open about that. He'll say that he'll go one day, but then the next day when I talk about it, he'll say, we don't need that. You just need to let go.
Sure. Well, Tashika, I tell you
what I usually tell people in this situation, and that is to make sure that before you move on, that you're ready to move on. And what I mean by that is, I don't know exactly what happened when you found out, but usually what happens is there's, you know, a breakup or a separation or something. I mean, you know, look, you're sleeping on the couch, something, some kind of, you know, separation that comes up, some wall that's built because, you know, that sin gets exposed. And then there's you're at a crossroads where you can say, okay, look, if I am going to forgive them and I'm going to move on, just got to make sure that you're there. It sounds like somehow, some way, that step was skipped over, meaning that you just kind of still together, but it never was dealt with. And so what's happening now is you're in an infinite stage of trying to get resolved, and then there's no resolution. And so my encouragement to Sheikah here is really sit down with him and talk, because your marriage won't work. What's going to happen is you're pushing him back out the door and back out to doing something else. I'm not saying he will, but chances are he's done it already, and then you're bringing it up, nagging him, it will push him even further, which it doesn't sound like that's what you want. So you got to say, look, if we're going to make this work, if we're going to be able to live our rest of our lives together and have a great, happy, successful marriage, then we got to be able to deal with this. And you also got to be able to say, but once we deal with it, then we can leave it behind us and then really keep your word, you know, saying, okay, if it's behind us, it's behind us. But it sounds like you skipped something. And
but
so you're stuck.
And I tried to speak to him and let him know we need to deal with this. He said, we've already dealt with it and it's over. And he said, you know, the questions that you have and the things that you want to bring up, it's not going to do anything but cause you more pain. And that doesn't make any sense if you're trying to heal. Then what's the sense of talking about it is just going to bring more pain. You need to just let it go.
Uh-huh.
So I have tried to, you know, talk to him, and that's why I wanted to go to counseling.
Sure.
Or something, you know, to kind of, I feel like there's a reason. You know, I'm not naive to the point to think that there wasn't a reason that he went outside of our marriage. There was a reason. And
sure.
Even when I come to him with, okay, you did this, and I want to get over it, but I need to know what it was about me. Like, what was it? And he's like, if there wasn't anything about you, it wasn't
mm-hmm.
about you.
Okay,
you know, so I'm even begging for him to, you know, kind of give me an insight as to why you had to go out there, because there was a relationship. It wasn't just him sleeping with this girl. There was a relationship.
And I
found out by finding the emails that they set up through some email account. And there was a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He called her baby. She called him baby. There was a relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
Tashika, quick question. How long ago has it been? How much time has passed?
I found out April 19th.
Okay, it was April 19th. And then at that point, did he cut it off from April 19th till now?
They both have said that it's cut off. I've spoken to both of them because I had confronted both of them on many occasions, and they both told me I was crazy, that I needed to stop being so insecure and learn to trust my husband.
Okay.
That's the worst that came out of her mouth.
That's baloney. But the reality is, it's still pretty fresh. And it sounds to me that if this is not dealt with right now, I mean, you're just not going to be able to move on. And that's what you need to let them know. My encouragement to you is, look, tell him, I want to move on. I can't move on until we deal with it. Oh, but we dealt with it. No, we haven't. And I cannot move on. You want me to forgive you? You want me to treat you right? Well, you need to give me those tools. And part of that is going to be, we need to sit with someone. We need to have an honest, open conversation. And then look, after it's all out on the table and you talk about it, you cry about it, you pray about it, then if you decide you're going to move forward, then you got to leave it behind you. But it's not even right to be able to say leave it behind when you haven't really dealt with it. And April 19th, that's pretty fresh. You're not talking about a year or 2 years, 3 years ago. You're talking about, you know, a month and a half or less ago. And so I would encourage you, really have that honest talk with him, because I don't know how you'll be able to move on unless you deal with this.
Right.
So, but, you know, you still hurt. So, you know, keep praying, but really have that conversation with him. And Tashika, we thank you so much, and we do pray that you will be able to find that resolution very quickly.
Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Well, Marcos, it looks like we're getting close to the end of another great edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. And we thank all the callers for calling in and expressing their opinion, answering the questions, and sharing a bit of their life with us.
Well, we don't want to leave you, let you get off the hook yet. Now, for you, if you're not married yet, Tiffany, and
no.
We know you're praying for that, you know, Prince Charming to come, you know.
Yes, Lord.
But we want to know. If you had to change something about yourself now so that you can be a great wife one day, what would that be?
Well, I definitely would work on my physical appearance just because that is something that I battle with.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't want to bring that into a relationship. If I'm not happy about it, then,
okay,
you know, I don't want it to be an issue. So that's the first thing. The second thing.
Wow, you got a list.
I do. But see, I'm working on myself. So that's part of the reason why I'm where I'm at, because I'm working on myself. The other thing is I would really be better at managing my time. Since I'm single, I put all my energy into work. Mm. I work, work, work. I work like crazy. That's why I don't have children, because I'm working, you know, and baby would be strapped on my back like, come on, child, just be quiet. We got to talk now, you know.
We'll be on the air.
We're going to be on the air. Mommy's got to talk. But I would be better at managing my time and definitely learning how to say no to things so that I have sufficient time for my family.
Okay.
And the other thing, I guess, would be to really do some of the things that I heard you talking about, you know, earlier in terms of conflict and issues and making that agreement, you know, with my honey, that if he notices something in me that's not cool, that he's not happy with, that I just take that for what it is at that time and not, you know, bring up the whole, don't tell me that when you do this all the time.
There
so I already know that's part of me.
Oh,
so,
well, that's good.
I would work that out.
Well, you know, the good news and the encouraging news, it's whether you're single, you're married, or you're going through a really challenging time in your relationship. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 4:13 that I can do everything through him who gives me strength, meaning that, you know what, we can change. Now, even the things that we talked about, we started off saying, what can you change? And if you would change one thing about you that would change, you know, would help your marriage to be better, what that would be. And then we started talking about what you would change in your spouse.
Yeah.
And both of those things are very doable. The first one, you have more control over. The second one, you got to go to God for. And you got to be patient and waiting for God to do it. But we thank you, Tiffany, for your honesty and openness. I think we all know we got things to change, things to grow in, things to be able to, you know, be able to be more like Jesus and be a better spouse, a better partner in a relationship. So we thank you so much for everyone. Your question, your comments. Don't forget, find us on Facebook, Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Have a peaceful, positive, and productive weekend. Happy Memorial Day. Much love to Kyle, our producer, for doing an awesome job. Have a great one. Bye-bye.